In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Logs and specks, both of them are made out of wood. And of course, both a log and a speck, if it gets in your eye, it will hurt. But the size definitely makes a difference, doesn't it? A speck of dust can cause your eye to water, it can cause your eye to hurt, maybe blur your vision a little bit. But a log, if it gets in your eye, a log will block out your vision altogether. In fact, it would completely and totally block your face, wouldn't it? And so if I had a log in my eye, how could I possibly see anything, let alone see the speck in your eye? And our Lord exaggerates, of course, to make a point. We are obsessed with other people's behavior, and we pay no attention to our own behavior. Humanity, you and me, all of us, we are a race of complainers and gossipers. We love to pay attention to other people's behavior, but we never turn the looking glass back on ourselves, because if we did, it might expose us. You and I might end up seeing stuff that we don't want to see in us. We might see the stuff that we love to hate in our mothers and sisters and in our fathers and brothers or our friends or our enemies or in those celebrities and politicians that we love to trash. We might see that stuff in us. And so we are vigilant about pointing out others' faults. We complain, we gossip, we say, it's not to build up ourselves when we're saying these things. No. It's never that. It's not because we think that we are better. No, we're too humble, we're too non-judgmental or spiritual or loving for that. But dear friends, if it isn't that, what is it? I submit to you, it's to keep our own eyes on them and rather than on us. Our culture around us that you and I live in and thus are a part of and can't help but be influenced by, our culture tells itself repeatedly, you've heard this line in our culture, that we are becoming more and more and more enlightened all the time. But you may have noticed that we're really not any more enlightened over the years, even over the last decades. We're not any more loving than we were a decade or two ago. The newfound cultural acceptance of homosexuality is not evidence that we're more enlightened. All it's evidence of is that we've shifted the focus of whom it's acceptable to hate. Our society says it's not acceptable to hate this group anymore, but it's now acceptable to hate these groups. For instance, smokers, child pornographers, and those people, those bigots who say that homosexuality is wrong. Those are just a few of the groups that it's now culturally acceptable to hate. But you and I, we're not more loving, not as a culture, not as individuals. We're not getting better. We're not more enlightened because we're still pointing fingers, aren't we? We're still measuring out righteousness and judging. We've just shifted the scale of what we say is right and wrong. And that means that you and I are simply actors. We are pretenders who call ourselves spiritual and loving, but are really hypocrites. Repent. Because the logs are firmly in our eyes while we point out the specks in everyone else's eyes. The blind lead the blind. And even we Christians are blind fools. We are sinners who measure out our judgments and our guilty verdicts, leading ourselves and anyone else who will follow us into a pit called hell. You see, Christianity has a morality, but Christianity is not a morality. Instead, Christianity is not about what is right and wrong. Christianity is about a man who is God, a God who saves you, a God who yanks your log out of your eye, who nails himself to that log, who sheds his own blood on that log, and his blood quenched the bonfire of God's justice against our blindness and our evil judgment and our wicked choices. And so that cross-shaped pyre of logs still burns the logs from our eyes. It clears your sight, it cures your blindness, and it gives you 20/20 vision, because it gives you Jesus' vision, God the Father's vision. But seeing yourself clearly then, admitting your faults and your weakness, your wickedness, is a scary thing. To see yourself as you actually are is frightening. And it can only be done when someone has already taken the log from your eye. Someone who has a clear eye and a steady hand. Someone who can do it with gentleness and the empathy of a God who took your flesh, who carried your sin, who died for it in your place. Because he knows removing your blinders means death to you. It means death to your way of life, death to how you look at yourself and others. And when such a God clears your eye and pours into your lap his overflowing goodness, his graciousness then raises you up different than you were. His graciousness raises you up to be the real you, to be his you. And the longer you live receiving this grace poured out on you, the more you learn to measure others by the grace that you've received. Which is to say, you and I still make judgments, but we judge people gently. We judge them with mercy. We judge them graciously, speaking the truth about our neighbor and to our neighbor in love. And love, dear friends, love is the key. Because saying what is true without any love for the person you're saying it about or this person you're saying it to, saying what is true to them without love is wrath. It may be true what you're saying, but you say it intending harm to them. And we excuse your wicked intention. We excuse it with a snide, well, it's true. We've all done it, right? It's true. But we really meant that truth to hurt them or their reputation or whatever. Meanwhile, love without truth, love that wants to shield your beloved from hurt and thus won't speak truth to them, is sentimentality. And sentimentality is worse than wrath. Sentimentality knowingly allows your beloved to continue harming themselves. It lets them go to hell in the name of love. But what kind of love is that? It's not the love of our Lord and our God. He does not speak truth in wrath. He emptied himself of his just wrath, pouring it out abundantly on himself on the pyre of the cross. He eagerly desires instead to pour out his grace to all. But of course, sadly, some do not want his grace. But in love, he will force his love on no one. Thus, in love, on the last day, he will give his beloved who refuse his grace, who want no part of it, who exclude themselves from it, he will give them what they want. He will let them take full credit for what they did in life. He will let them earn the eternal wages of their sin. He will stop shielding them from their sin. He does not wish that. It breaks his heart to do so, just as it did on the cross. He is not wrathful. He speaks truth in love. He removes specks and logs from our eyes. He doesn't pretend that they're not there. He doesn't turn a blind eye to them. He pours out his love on you and teaches you to use his measuring cups and his ways. You see, he's a baker who pours all his best ingredients into the recipe, and when the recipe says no more, he says it's not enough, and he keeps on going. And of course, while that would ruin your recipe or mine, because his eye is clear, because he is the master baker, his recipe turns out perfectly, deliciously, brilliant. And that's good news in a world which is utterly sinful. A world which has been subjected by its own creator to futility, to emptiness, to uselessness. Because here we are, drifting around without purpose, trying to find value in judging ourselves better than others, in comparing ourselves to others. We hope that that'll somehow give us meaning. But the Creator subjected creation to futility so that He might bring an end to you, so that you might despair of yourself, so that you might realize you are not better than anyone else. You are the same. You are just as hopeless, just as futile, just as wicked and wretched before Him. So die to yourself. For Christ Jesus has raised you up in hope of His resurrection. He is the first fruit of His resurrection from the dead. But you are the harvest. When you see your body falling apart, therefore, when you see your own will not able to discipline your flesh and make you do what you know is right, rejoice at that. Rejoice, for you know that in you lives no good thing, but in Him is the fullness of life. In your baptism, Christ finished the job that sin began. He killed you spiritually, and He raised you spiritually. And one day, that same death and resurrection will be done to you physically. It'll happen in the blink of an eye, in a moment, in an instant, it'll be done. The old will be gone and the new will come. The decay will be done and the life will be lived in the full forever. And of course, you and I, we groan for that day. We long for it. We can't wait until that day because we believe. We have that outer testimony of God to us in the baptism that was done to our bodies externally. But that same baptism puts the inner witness of the Spirit in us that creates that hope and that faith that looks towards that day. And there in your baptism, your Savior spoke to you the fullness of His love. You are a sinner, but My blood, in My blood, you are forgiven. I judge you innocent. I declare you not guilty. And I come again to bring the fullness of your freedom forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.